Welcome to Marriage Heart to Heart. We're Tom and Elaine Waters with Restoration International, and we're looking forward to today's program with you.
We're going to be talking about communication breakers, so we hope you have your pencil and paper ready as we begin.
You know, there are all kinds of things that break communication, and we're going to be talking about how we can overcome those communication breakers because we want to have a marriage that's truly heart to heart. You know, communication breakers are actually what lead to this fatal cycle. And we've talked about this fatal cycle in some of our earlier programs. Mm-hmm. That fatal cycle, which then leads often to divorce. So if communication begins to break down, we start that fatal cycle. And it's not safe to stay in that fatal cycle.
That's right. That fatal cycle draws us apart and puts barriers up between us. So one of the communication breakers that we experienced in our home early on was the absolute statements. You always and you never. Seemed like any time that we were starting to be in the me focus, those kind of statements started to flow from us to each other. You always do that. You never do that. You always say that. And those kind of thoughts, those kind of words would almost always derail us in our communication and cause us problems.
So is it safe to say then that when we're saying words like, you always, why you never, in those tones of voice, that it's pretty safe to say we're in the me focus. We're not really looking at being very understanding, and we're thinking just about my perspective.
First of all, these statements aren't even true statements. Mm-hmm. And secondly, they take us away from the issue that we're discussing onto a different issue that has no relevance to the thing being discussed.
It's kind of a sidetracking because now if you've made me feel like, or I feel like, you can't make me feel like, mm-hmm. but if I get the idea that I always and I never, then that kind of raises a defensive response. Well, last time I didn't say that. And mm-hmm. so you say I always, and I didn't say it in the last time we got into it, so it's a sidetrack. And pretty soon we can be off into something that has no relevance to where we started.
And we find ourselves quite upset over something that was never an issue to start with. So we've made a decision in our home, a commitment, that we're not going to let these kind of communication breakers destroy our communication.
That's right.
And we've agreed that if these come up in our conversation, which sometimes they still do, that if the person who mm-hmm. speaks it catches themselves, they can correct themselves.
That's right.
And if not, the other person in the conversation, or if we're having a family council, anyone in our home, any one of our children have permission to respectfully say, Mother, you just said, you always. Mm-hmm. And it gives me the opportunity as the offender to say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. You don't always. What I mean mm-hmm. to say is often, and then I can continue my sentence or my statement. And it's been very effective in our home as a way to remedy these communication breakers.
Very helpful. The second area that we want to talk about is bringing up the past. You know, it's so easy, especially if we're in the me focus and we know how we can move out of that me focus to the us focus. But these communication breakers often happen or are stimulated when we're in the me focus. So if we're in that me focus, it's easy to start bringing up the past. And it's a real communication breaker. Because if we're holding the other person in the past, do you like that, dear? Like to be held in the past?
No, I like to be who I am today.
Okay. So even if your words or your actions remind me of something that's happened in the past, it's not going to do us any good to go back to the past or blame you for the past to help resolve this present situation. Mm-hmm. And you probably remember that one couple that we had in our home. It's a classic example of this. This couple, they were in our home, it was probably over 10 years ago, and right from the very beginning, we could see that they could not communicate about anything, it seemed. And as we were sitting together trying to talk about their problems and how their communication was being broken down, one of the things that we observed was that they were always at least in the communication that we were having with them, always bringing each other back into the past. They wouldn't let it go. And so what was ended up happening, if you remember, is they were both holding each other in the past. Mm-hmm. And they weren't living very much of their life in the present, and as a result, they were living a pretty miserable experience.
Their past was destroying their present relationship.
That's right.
They wouldn't let the other one out of their past. And if it's not good, why go back and relive it and relive it and relive it?
Let's get
out of it. If it's not that good, let's get out of it, move forward.
That's right. That's right. If we can take the past out of the picture, mm-hmm. and we're willing to start living a present life, we'll have a better past if we get that dealing in the past out of there. Well, it was time for us to go for our walk and talk time, which is something that we've done for years. And so we invited this couple while we went for a walk, and we were going to head one direction, and we invited them, you go the other direction. And we gave them a couple of simple rules for communication. We said, on this walk that you take together while we go out and have our time together, we want you to remember what it was that attracted you to one another. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
What it was that really made it meaningful for you in your early, your courtship and prior to marriage, and talk about what it was there that made it so meaningful, why you were brought together. And then we want you to each try to focus your attention on the positive things that you liked about that person in your early married life. Don't talk about anything else from the time you leave this house until we come back together. And do you remember how they came back?
They came back a different couple than what they left. I think it was quite eye-opening and quite challenging for them. But they were willing. They wanted to regain that newness. They wanted to regain that relationship. And they were willing to take that suggestion and to discipline themselves on that walk. And when they came back, they were holding hands, they were happy, and they had broken that fatal cycle.
That's right.
That fatal cycle that, you know, once we get started down this track, it just is like a, you know, something that sucks us down, and we just find it very difficult to get out of it. And not only that, but it gave them new ground to start to advance in their communication. And now it's incredible to see this couple. They enjoy each other. They have no problems in their communication.
That's right.
It's exciting to see what can happen and how we can change.
Yes, and that's what's exciting. And we want to encourage you as a viewing audience that sometimes it just takes a launching off point in these communication breakers. Somebody in the marriage needs to be willing to be vulnerable to start making a difference. And this was a launching off place for them. They went back to a very positive time in their lives, and they started a new life together, really. That's mm-hmm. that's what ended up happening. Well, let's talk about number three, the next communication breaker. And believe me, there's many more communication breakers that we could talk about, but time would not permit. So number three is the screamer, the yeller, those really loud, overpowering voices, you know, that come out of real irritation, that come out of the passions or even rage sometimes. And those loud voices actually carry with them the spirit of force. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. When I talk with someone, we do a lot of seminars internationally in different countries, and I kind of smile about it, because sometimes when I'm talking to people who are speaking a different language, I somehow think, and I know it isn't true, but somehow I find myself, if I speak louder and slower, maybe they'll understand my English. And my family has laughed at me. That's a little bit of an exaggeration, but isn't it true? Sometimes we somehow think that if I can just get my point across, you'll understand.
And it doesn't change the understanding at all. What it does is communicates a deeper message if it's done in the passion and frustration and anger.
That's right.
It's understood in a language barrier because it happens naturally. But in a home, in a marriage where there's already communication problems, loud voices only intensify the problem.
That's
they
right.
don't solve anything. So this is an area that we have had in our home in the past, a long time ago.
And I'm thankful it's a long time ago. Mm-hmm.
And we agreed again, made another commitment, that this was no longer going to be a part of how we communicated in our home.
That's right.
And we hope that each one of you listening today will take notes and make these type of commitments, even if it's just you, the single person listening. It can make such a difference in how you respond to your spouse that it will encourage them to start talking to you the same, in the same spirit and in the same tone in which you talk to them. In fact, a good example of that is I remember once I had laryngitis and I started whispering everywhere through the house.
That's right.
And the whole family whispered until my voice was back.
That's right.
Just by my influence. So by our influence of speaking in a normal tone of voice, we can help to diminish these loud, yelling, sharp responses.
I remember that, and that's actually a very powerful example, because it wasn't that I went around to the children and said, now mother can't use her voice, so let's all make mother feel better and talk real quietly in a whisper. But it was by beholding. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a law, mm-hmm. a law in the mind that says by beholding we become changed. And as we tuned into you, we just started talking like you were talking. You know, that's another communication breaker, though. Mm-hmm. If we can take that, there's the person, and we've known couples personally who have gone into the, they talk so quietly, or they mutter. And sometimes muttering is really just a reflection of self, not speaking clearly. And we know one couple that the man couldn't hear that well, and it seemed like the wife actually kind of prodded him by talking quietly, and then she'd say something like, well, how come you're not answering me? Now, mm-hmm. she said that so he could hear, and he's saying, well, I didn't know you were talking to me. And it created frustration. Mm-hmm. So communication breakers can happen from talking real loud or muttering and talking so quietly that the person is frustrated and can't really hear.
I know in our home too, in the loudness aspect, sometimes we've refined it even more. And sometimes one of our children or you can say, you sense a spirit of intensity. Mm. Not that the voice is escalating, but that there's a spirit of intensity there. So we've agreed that we're going to be allies and not enemies. We're here to work together to conquer, you know, this life here together. And so we want to help each other. So now we'll even say, honey, I'm sensing a little intensity in your voice or in the spirit that's there.
That's right.
And by having agreed to that ahead of time, when you say that to me or when I say that to you, it doesn't bring the defensiveness that it could if it hadn't have been discussed before.
Because we're allies now.
That's right. We're not enemies.
I think that concept of being allies, it was very impactful for us as we recognized that when we would start letting that self-focus come in, we start being enemies, and we didn't want to be enemies. I mean, I love my wife, she loves me, but we'd start going into our corners, and when we realized that we can be allies against a common foe, it's the devil and the selfishness that is so knit to the devil that comes out of us. The devil's our enemy. Self is our enemy, and so we aren't enemies together. So when we started agreeing that we're going to be allies together, what a difference it made. We're allies now. We're not enemies. And
that's
so
right.
When we recognize this happening, we're going to work together through this against our common foe with the Lord. Mm-hmm. So we need to talk about some more communication breakers, but we'll be back in just a moment after we take this break. So stay with us. Welcome back, as we're talking about communication breakers. And I'm sure you've been able to relate to these. Maybe they don't all affect you, but they've all affected us. And the one that I want to talk about next, the fourth communication breaker, it's one that really broke the communication in our early marriage, didn't it, dear?
Yes.
I call it driving on ice. It goes something like this. I'm looking straight ahead. I don't turn to look at my wife. I am really acting like I've got to concentrate on my driving. And we have met so many couples, Now, it may sound funny, but we have met so many people that struggle with this. The husband acts like he's got nothing to say. He's got to concentrate on his driving. He's looking straight ahead, and his wife is just left there in the car. How does it make you feel?
Lonely. It was a tough area for us at the beginning because we were used to talking about everything and freely and any time. And now we had all this half hour to work or 45 minutes to and from work every day. And first you weren't a morning person. Then you had to drive intensely going home. Even if it wasn't winter and there was no ice, it was like you were just stoic there, you know, behind the wheel, you know, and I would try to talk and share, but it's like you weren't really hearing or not interested.
You know, it really upset you. I remember the day, and husbands, tune into this if you have this problem, because I remember the day that one of my buddies rode with me in the car, and my wife, being gracious, took the back seat. What happened to my driving on ice then, dear?
You were like you were on a tropical island with no pressures at all. You had so much to say, and your head turned so many times to your buddy sitting next to you. And I thought, what's wrong with me?
It was terrible, wasn't it?
It was pretty hurtful.
Well, these are these silences. They're not silences that are golden. They're silences of self. And it's interesting. We spend a lot of time in airports as we travel. And we've made some very interesting observations. We could probably go around in the airport, just randomly, go around and tell you where the married couples were and where the friends are, or where the married couples are and where the ones in a dating relationship are. Mm-hmm. It's just very interesting because many of the married couples are no longer communicating. They've got their newspaper, their book, they've got whatever they're doing, or they're sitting with a blank stare on their face or watching the television because they're not communicating. Their communication is broken. Mm-hmm. Isn't that true?
Yeah, I mean, everywhere you go, you see it. In fact, I remember getting on an airplane once and the flight attendant said, "Are you newlyweds?" I said, "No." She said, "Well, you know," I asked her why. "Well, because you guys look like you love each other." I said, "Well, we do, we're husband and wife. I mean, we've been married for years." And then that same flight attendant, a few weeks later, thought maybe I was pregnant because I was so happy just talking to my husband. I mean, isn't that normal? But it's not really normal.
And that's the sad part.
It is. And we want to break that cycle.
That's right.
That fatal cycle. And silence needs to be broken. We need to learn how to communicate, even if it's a little uncomfortable.
That's right.
So the next area that we want to talk about is similar to that, another communication breaker. And that's called sleep. Now, we all need sleep. Every one of us do. But sometimes when we go to bed, you and I like to talk.
Oh, it's a great talk time.
It's a great talk time. And I think many couples like that. But if one of the spouses begins to snore within the first few minutes, it can be a serious communication breaker.
Honey, do I snore?
Yes, you do snore.
So that sounds like I'm the culprit in this.
Well, I've fallen asleep on you too, and it's
That's
not
true.
That it's wrong, but we have, in our home, we've decided that if we are tired and we sense that we're starting to drift off into sleep, when our spouse is telling us something that's important to them, that we will say something like this: "I'm sorry, I'm dozy, or I'm getting tired. Can we set a time to talk about it tomorrow?"
Don't take it personally.
Don't take it personally. So, if we don't have that kind of communication, mm-hmm. just to keep falling asleep night after night after night after night after night, the other one feels like, "I'm not being cared for. He doesn't really care for me. He's not really interested. Does he really love me?" Mm. And it leads into questions that should never be being raised in a marriage.
That's right. So it's a communication breaker.
It is.
Well, the sixth area that we want to talk about is laughter and tears. Now, before you jump to any conclusions, no, laughter in and of itself is not a communication breaker. We enjoy good, hearty laughter in our marriage and in our home.
Yes, and we have it fairly regularly.
And shedding tears. There's nothing wrong with shedding tears.
That's right.
I know there are a lot of men that have been raised with this idea that it's not okay to have tears or to show emotion. That's an improper thought. But listen as we talk about how that affects in the wrong way. You remember, in the early part of our marriage, we learned a lot of tough lessons in the first part of our marriage. I'm thankful that we learned them, though, because our love was an enduring love.
That's right. Because we did love each other, even though we were finding these struggles. It's what brought us through that.
Yes, that's right. You used to laugh at what I considered some of the most inappropriate times. You remember that?
Oh, yes. And sometimes my laughter broke communication because it was upsetting to you. And it wasn't because I wasn't caring, but sometimes it wasn't appropriate for me to laugh.
I remember asking you one time, so what do I have to do? Cut my hand off and then you won't laugh?
Sometimes it's just how circumstances strike you, and so I have to be sensitive that I just don't start laughing at the circumstances that
right.
happen that cause you pain.
Now, it didn't take me long to realize that you weren't really laughing at me. But that's, you know, it's pretty hard to separate that
yes.
at first.
And now
it's
you
like, oh, it's that funny that I just smashed my finger, right?
And now you've learned to laugh. We've learned to laugh together. And so
that's
you
right.
can laugh when I fall down on the ice as well. But what is the other aspect that I had, and this was the problem that I had, is sometimes I would laugh when things weren't funny. I mean, not those kind of things, but
yeah. the pressure.
Yes. Stress. Under stress, not knowing how to respond, you know, we could be in a difficult situation and I would just break out laughing.
I never understood that, at least for a while.
It was a stress relief, but it didn't relieve the stress because it, you know, it only made you more upset.
It's like, how could you laugh at this?
Yes.
This isn't funny.
So laughter is good in a marriage, but it has to be understood in how it's used. Laugh with someone and not at them.
Yes, and aren't you glad we're not in those kind of stressful situations in our marriage anymore?
Oh,
isn't that
yes.
a blessing?
It is a blessing.
And that's what we want to encourage you with. You can really have a marriage that's heart-to-heart with God and the one that you love. Now, what about the tears? You know, tears can be a communication breaker, too. Now, they don't need to be, but definitely we have found that tears do affect the communication. Because, again, in our early marriage, there were times that your tears really made me feel guilty, okay? And because I really didn't understand that full surrender and didn't understand how to be kept by the grace of God in that situation in our marriage, that guilt would still have an impact on my communication. And so that would cause me to change my direction of, you know, conversation. But I wasn't really dealing with my heart, but those tears, and you know, you've heard of women, I haven't heard of any men doing this, but you've heard of the women that, you know, if they get pulled over, they'll try the tears routine. Now, it doesn't always work, does it? But it often does have its effect, and it's not the right kind of effect. So if tears are shed to try to create that effect, that's a wrong motivation.
They kindle a response.
That's right.
And, you know, it may cut communication, it may bring on guilt, it may be, here we go again, we're going to go down this whole track
right.
again. Or it may bring on, I'm just going to let her do it, I'm going to just, it doesn't matter. I just want to have peace, I don't want to have this. And so it's a wrong solution. Tears should not be used as a means to get what someone wants, because
right.
that breaks communication. We need to resolve and solve our problems without the tears.
That's right.
For the real solution.
Well, the last area that we want to talk about, and again, we could talk about many communication breakers. You need to decide what it is in your marriage that's breaking communication, but jesting, joking, and foolishness. This was also a part of our early marriage. And these little foolish witticisms and, you know, one-upsmanship, and I'll make a dig on you, and you come back with one better on me. Isn't that destructive to communication, really?
It is, because it's always degrading someone else or putting them down in order to get somebody to laugh or to put ourselves up. Somebody is always
right.
at the expense of those kind of comments. They're very destructive.
Ephesians 5, verse 4 says, neither filthiness nor jesting, which are not convenient, but learning to walk in love. That's the other side. That's the 1 Corinthians that we've been talking about, learning to walk in love. You know, many people, and we've seen this over and over again, they get into this kind of superficial, what I call it is a filler conversation. And I used to do a lot of it, you know, before we were married. But it's filler conversation. It's filling in blanks, and it's really what it's saying is, I can't talk to you deeply. And so I'm going to fill in spaces. Mm-hmm. And it's not right. And what ends up happening, and we've dealt with and ministered to many couples who have gotten so shallow in their communication, they have nothing, that they can't talk about any of the real issues. So we need to get this out of our communication and move to the personal challenge for the people. You want to share a little bit of the personal challenge with them right now?
Identify your weak areas and look for a way to resolve it. Make those commitments, the changes that you're going to do in your family, in your relationship, to have a marriage that's heart to heart.
Well, let's pray that that commitment can be made in the Lord. Father in heaven, we need you for every commitment. And if we're making commitments about the things that break communication, we need your grace. Help us to be able to identify those things and to be able to move forward with a marriage that's truly heart to heart. In Jesus' name, amen. We hope you'll join us next time as we talk about honesty and integrity. Oh, what an important part of a marriage that's going to be truly heart to heart. Heart to heart with our Lord and Savior, and heart to heart with the girl we love.
This has been a Three Angels Broadcasting Network production.